Well, the Warriors are re-airing classic games showcasing the rise of Stephen Curry, Klay Thompson, and Draymond Green. Now through June 5th, we're turning back the clock to bring you Warriors Archives, The Making of a Champion, presented by HPE. It's live on Facebook. Go to warriors.com for the schedule. And in this particular session, we're going back to March 4th, 2014. The Warriors on the road in Indiana and facing a very good Pacers team that came into the contest with a record of 46-13. To help us break down this game and to talk a little bit about his memories of it, Chris Denari, the longtime Pacers TV announcer, joins us. And Chris, first of all, I just hope that you and yours and your loved ones are staying safe and hope that everything is okay for you guys to the moment.
Yeah, everything is good. You know, it's been a different situation, something that we've never faced before. And but no, all my wife, our three boys, our son's wife, everybody healthy. And that's the most important thing right now.
Go back to this game, and you had to be, someone who's covering the Pacers, you guys had to feel really good about things. You know that LeBron James is out there and looming, but 46-13, that's a heck of a start.
Yeah, I mean that was a really, really good Pacers team back in 2014. You think about Paul George and David West, Roy Hibbert, George Hill, Lance Stephenson. That was an outstanding team that basically in back-to-back years made it to the Eastern Conference Finals, but ran into LeBron James. So, that was a really, really good team, and I think, did a lot of good things and, proved that they could be one of the best teams in the NBA.
Second year under Mark Jackson for the Warriors. They had a nice playoff run in 2013, losing to San Antonio in the second round. And for the Warriors, that was a big deal. They had only made the playoffs twice in about the previous 20 years. And so I'm curious, what were your thoughts about the Warriors at the time, and how do you think the Pacers viewed the Warriors?
Well, I remember going to Oracle, and as well as Golden State playing at Indiana, and clearly they were setting the stage for what would happen with winning all those titles. But at that time, you could tell that these young guys, especially that backcourt, the Splash Brothers, were so good and just could create things and score. I don't know if you ever know what somebody is going to be or what the success that a team is going to have, but clearly, whenever you went into their building. And, of course, when they came to Bankers Life Fieldhouse, Steph Curry, he brought so much to the table because I think, people knew what he had done at Davidson. He clearly hadn't become what he is now. But you could tell this was a team on the rise that at some point was going to be pretty good. I don't know if anybody at that point thought that they won all the titles that they did. But you knew that it was a very dynamic backcourt. And with the way the game was changing, with the three-point shot becoming more and more prevalent, those two guys could create a lot of problems.
25 that night for Klay Thompson. We'll get back to Klay in a moment. Steph Curry had a total of 19 to go with 8 boards and 6 assists. And David West, and we found out just kind of what the kind of a guy and player he was when he came to the Warriors. He was really good that night. 27 points. Paul George had 26. I'm going to ask you about David West just because I think for his career, I kind of think he got overlooked a little bit. He was a really good player.
Yeah, he was, and I'll tell you, Tim, if you look at the history of the Indiana Pacers, he has to be, I think, the number one free agent signing that the Pacers have had. He was just so valuable to the Pacers, and to be honest, with all the guys that were there, and Paul George is a terrific talent, I'm not sure the Pacers had the success in 2012, 13, and 14. Without David West. And as you said, you guys saw just how valuable he was in his bench role in his latter years at Golden State. But this was a guy that I think was heavily responsible for the success of those Pacers teams, and an outstanding leader, showed it on the floor. Just one of my all-time favorite players.
Paul George tied the game late on a free throw. Klay Thompson had caught him from behind, so he couldn't get a dunk. and then somehow Clay gets the ball and he's guarded by George Hill. And to be honest with you, Chris, this was a, you know, the Warriors were still learning. You know, they were still learning how to win. And this was a big shot for Klay Thompson because I think it gave him the confidence to take big shots. And I think the fact that he got the mismatch with Hill, mismatch only in terms of size, I think he was able to kind of calm himself and knock that one down. I was curious to when you look at Klay Thompson, what did you see in his career? What did you see early that maybe you liked?
Well, I thought, you know, from a shooting perspective, just watching his shot, I thought it was one of the purest jump shots that you've seen. And, you know, as we're talking, I just, you know, I pulled it back up to see that shot on the baseline because it was in front of the Pacers bench just to my right. And it was something that we were going to see a lot as his career progressed. I mean, just the confidence that he had, the ability to you know, to bounce. You know, when you and I were talking about possibly doing this when I got the call, I was thinking, they're either going to pick this game or they're going to look at the game in Oakland for 60. I think he dribbled like 8 times that day, right, Tim?
Unbelievable.
I mean, night.
Unbelievable.
I mean, it was one of the most unbelievable performances that I've ever seen. And I think, you know, in this day and age, your ability to catch and shoot, your ability to move without the basketball, and I think that's been, to me, one of the most impressive things about Klay Thompson as his career has developed, is that he has a wonderful shot, but you still have to be able to get it off in the NBA, and he's definitely done that very well.
Give me your comparison with Clay and Reggie Miller. You know, I've been around the league long enough to have called games when the Pacers were beating the Warriors with Reggie having good nights. I see similarities to them, especially coming off screens. They're both ready to go coming off screens.
Yeah, there's no question about that. I mean, I think what's really cool about where the game is now is that is so important, is even more so than ever, moving without the ball. And you're seeing more teams, you know, I think the tempo is faster, there are more possessions, and so it gives teams, you know, I think a better opportunity to score. I mean, watching this game, you know, think back to 2014, the game was played in the 90s. It was 98-96. And now we're looking at, you know, games in the 110s, the 112s, 114. So clearly, this was at the cusp of Golden State learning how effective they could be offensively. And clearly, you know, Reggie was one of the best in coming off screens, I think, you know, throughout the last month, reliving the Last Dance on ESPN with Michael Jordan. You know, clearly, episode 9 was very much focused on the Pacers-Bulls 1998 Eastern Conference Finals, and I think a lot of people may have forgotten just how good Reggie was and how good he was coming off screens. And I think Clay, you know, some 20 years later, is doing that as well as Reggie did. And I think that's a big key in the game today, is being able to move without the ball. Golden State does such a good job of finding the open man, and Clay has benefited greatly from that.
Boy, you mentioned that Last Dance because you got me to my next question. How good was that playoff series and the playoff series the Pacers had with those Chicago Bulls teams?
Yeah, they were outstanding. I mean, I did not work for the Pacers at that time. I was the play-by-play voice of Butler, but, you know, very much ingrained in what was happening really all throughout the 90s. If you think about where it all started, when Reggie Miller got a teammate like Byron Scott, who helped the Pacers move on to the Eastern Conference Finals in the early 90s, and then the playoff series between the Pacers and the Knicks, and of course the Pacers and the Bulls. So, you know, I think that's been the one thing about Indiana basketball. They've not won a championship, but if you look at the East, they've been in as many Eastern Conference Finals as anybody in the Eastern Conference. They had that run in the 90s. They had a significant run in the early 2000s. And then, as you said, you know, when David West signed, they made it to the Eastern Conference semifinals in 2012, and then a pair of Eastern Conference Finals in 13 and 14. And in the year that we're talking, this matchup between the Pacers and Golden State, you know, David West was just so vital to what the Pacers were able to do. And, you know, hopefully one day they'll be able to get over the hump. That's the key as we approach, you know, 2020 and beyond. But I look back fondly at this game. This was a disappointing game for the Pacers, but it may have been a sign of things to come for Golden State.
Well, Chris, you and I are both fortunate to work in great basketball areas in front of great fan bases, and it's just a pleasure to talk some basketball with you. Thank you so much for your time, and please stay safe.
I will, Tim, and hopefully our paths will cross sometime soon as our great game will get restarted.
My thanks to Chris Denari. The Warriors are re-airing classic games, showcasing the rise of Stephen Curry, Klay Thompson, and Draymond Green. Now through June 5th, we're turning back the clock to bring you Warriors Archives, The Making of a Champion, presented by HPE. It's live on Facebook. Go to Warriors.com for the full schedule. I'm Tim Roy, and this is Warrior Sound.